gentlemen, feast your eyes upon that you wish you did not see. Gaze upon that which makes your skin crawl. Welcome to the Museum of Controversy.
Guys, welcome to the Museum of Controversy. First time opening its doors, and we have a special guest with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Mookie. Thanks for having me, Jonah.
It's great cool. Having you. Mookie and I pretty much grew up with her. She was my other mom.
Yeah. Now I'm the first honored guest. Mm-hmm. Very honored.
First honored guest in all of the whole thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, just a quick explanation. What the Museum of Controversy is, in this archive, we have a series of controversial objects. And today, the objects we're going to be discussing are controversial flags. So I've dug through the archives, and I've come up with a few. And I believe Mookie's come up with a few, but I'm not sure. Doesn't really matter.
We'll see where it ends up.
Yeah. And I believe it is fitting to start with what is by far unquestionably the most controversial flag known to history. That is the Nazi flag. It was first adopted in 1935 and was used in Germany until 1945 when the Third Reich collapsed. And for those of you watching the news, you'll know that unfortunately that flag is being woven. It's being waved in cities across the United States and Canada today, which is...
And some parts of Europe
Of Europe, which the only way to describe it is horse shit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It is really disappointing. It's taken a long time to kind of move away from that direction. So to see a young generation of disgruntled, mainly disgruntled white fellas who choose to adopt that as their means of salvation is a really tragic state, actually.
Yeah, it shows just how lost people have become.
Exactly.
And how far removed from our past we've become.
Our past and each other. Like, how can you... You would think as we evolve, we realize more and more that we're all just one species and let's get over it. But it's bizarre to see these kinds of demonstrations of people who don't seem to be evolving with the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
And are in fact kind of moving backwards. I mean, I can understand and have sympathy for their sense of, inadequacy and probably... They probably actually deeply feel less than. And so then they take it out on other kinds of folks other than themselves. But that seems sad, both directions, to be honest. I feel sad for these poor white kids as well, who are obviously so lost and unguided. It also must be a very sad state of mind for them as well, actually.
Definitely. It's hard for me to kind of feel any sort of sympathy with them because I've been to demonstrations where people, they weren't waving the flags around, but yeah, they were preaching that kind of hate and just being eye to eye with people like that. And we were carrying signs and flags. They were carrying machetes and homemade pikes. So it's kind of hard to feel sympathy after you have a stupid peckerwood shouting right in your face.
Absolutely.
Threatening a 15-year-old girl, I should also say, just because of her skin color.
Right. There's a funny photograph going around Facebook these days where their symbol for their white supremacist group is the same ASL symbol for asshole, actually.
Nazi is a synonym of asshole, isn't it?
Yes, I think, you know, we're not supposed to judge, but I think in this case it's pretty fair to say yes.
Well, everyone's like, oh, you can't hate them because you're just as bad as they are. And I'm like, well, I'm not preaching for their I'm not preaching for their deaths, only in maybe extreme circumstances. But I mean, even then, it's I'm not wishing for them all to die. Yeah. I'm just wishing for them to all go away.
Go where?
Just either they become, they distance themselves from those beliefs, because you can change someone's beliefs. You can do it. It's not born into us.
No.
I mean, there's...
I don't think hate's going to help them change.
No.
It's actually going to fire them up.
Too. You can hate the ideology. You don't necessarily have to hate the person. I mean, I think the hate should be reserved for those extreme... Like, example, myself, I'm not one of those people who believe that all people can be saved. I believe that there are certain people that they're just a lost cause. And these are the people that, in the name of hatred, go and kill a bunch of people for something as stupid as, oh, they're black or, oh, they're Jewish. I know some people are like, well, I mean, not a lot of people now, but there are people like, well, we need to kind of see their side.
No, we don't need to see their side, but you still can have compassion for their suffering. Obviously, they're also in a state of emptiness and suffering. Not to condone any of it, I'm with you. And of course, if I meet them eye to eye, I would also say, hey, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, obviously, I should say, while we're talking about these subjects, obviously we don't condone what any of the ideology... Condone? Yeah, condone. We don't condone any of the ideology behind them. We're just discussing them because, I mean, for a series like this to come out, I think now is a good time to bring it out because of just what's been going on.
Absolutely. It's definitely a big subject. Even just coming here now, I just heard this brilliant radio program about, it was kind of addressing women of color, and it was just interviews with all these women, and all they were asked of was, what was your experience? What's your experience as a woman of color? And all of them spoke pretty much the same subject about feeling somewhat isolated and judged, and these just based on having body hair or wearing a hijab or having brown skin. And so this is definitely a subject that we need to continue addressing until we get to the other side of things, because we're obviously not there yet. And there's definitely a lot of people trying, and that's a great thing. But this is how we get there, is having these discussions.
We have to have... We mentioned... Lindsay and I mentioned in the episode one of Panhistoria, we're going to be discussing topics that people don't necessarily want to talk about, but we have to talk about it because if we don't, it's just as if it were ignoring that it happened or Absolutely. That it happens. And by ignoring that it happened or happens, then what's to say that it won't repeat itself?
Absolutely. And even, I mean, we're both Caucasian and, you know, whether we like it or not, we grew up also with certain prejudices, and not only Caucasians, everybody grows up with prejudices. And the only way in learning to learn is to become aware, and the only way to become aware is to have conversations like
absolutely.
This.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, absolutely, yeah.
And we're both open-minded people as well.
How do you feel about things like if someone, for instance, wanted to wear a Nazi uniform for a Halloween?
No. Like, I mean, my perspective is that I'm fine with these items being displayed in a museum or someone wearing a Nazi uniform if he's a character in a film that it features Nazis or the play or not. But Halloween costume, no. I mean, why? Why would you do that?
I understand. Have you heard this case recently? It happened in the United States where a professor spoke up and said, hey, we will not make it a school rule that you cannot wear a Native Indian costume for Halloween. And students were irate enough to quit school and say he was a racist. And he's saying, I'm not a racist. I don't condone it. But what I'm saying is that as a university, we cannot say that you're not allowed, because that's against freedom of rights. Now, absolutely, if somebody has the audacity and the idiocy, as far as I'm concerned, to wear a First Nations in let's call it an Indian, because it's not even anything real at all, is it? Just like Pocahontas or some bullshit. Anyhow, if anyone had the idiot desire to do that for Halloween, and they did, and they wore it to a university party, and they got the crap beat out of them, or got told off 38 times in an evening, well, actually, they'd actually learn something more than if it was just not allowed in the university.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what this professor was actually trying to say about every student. We're in very black and white times where you're either believe in football or you believe in peace or whatever. Like, we're in this, you believe that, I believe that, you're wrong, I'm right. As opposed to going, wait a second, it's not just, you can't just say, oh, that person did that wrong, well, then no one's allowed to do that. Well,
yeah.
It's like, what's happening? I mean, it's really a far leap, but like with circus animals, oh, well, one person was bad to a circus animal in India, and now no circus animals are allowed. Well, that doesn't really make sense, because lots of people abuse children, but you're still allowed to have children, you know? And so it's the same with what this professor was trying to say. He was trying to say, well, we can't just say, no, you're not allowed in a university. That's unethical. But everyone took it like he was a racist and he didn't care about the issue and everything. He was saying, no, that's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to say it's really important to have these discussions.
Yeah, exactly.
And if there is an idiot in the room, bring him out and let's lynch him.
No, I absolutely agree with what he says. I don't believe he's being racist at all. I mean, I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think if you're going to wear, like, dress up as you said, an Indian, you're kind of, like, again, why?
Yeah, you're ignorant and you need something to learn. But, I mean, even I've always, you know, I grew up what I thought was very liberal and understanding and compassionate, and yet I know I've definitely made mistakes, and some brown friends have had to call me on my behaviors or things I've said or things I thought were funny, and they've had to really call me on it and teach me something. And I've always really admired my friends that had the courage to stand up to me and say, hey, it's not cool to tell a joke in an East Indian accent because you think it's funny. If your family is not East Indian, why do you think it's important to do this routine with the East Indian accent? Oh, I don't know. Why is it bad? Because it's none of your business to do that. So only in my making mistakes did I learn, and because I had courageous friends who spoke up to me. And in the same way that you can't ban a university student from wearing a Nazi uniform,
yeah.
I'm with you. Well, why would you want to? Why would you want to bring up that pain for so many people?
I would differentiate like my feelings on that, because when it comes to wearing a Halloween Indian costume, that's just in poor taste and it's stupid.
Absolutely.
It's stupid.
Whereas
wearing a Nazi uniform, you're literally wearing an embodiment of hate.
Absolutely.
Which is, you're wearing one of the most disgusting
symbols
to ever walk, like, probably, yeah. I would dare say the most disgusting symbols to ever walk the face of the earth, which is actually sad, because the swastika is a religious symbol in India.
Yeah, then that brings us to another level. But I think most people today understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
absolutely
they do.
But yeah.
Absolutely they do. But it's also like,
but it is sad when you go, like you say, it's a religious symbol elsewhere, and now it's tainted with this feeling of hatred. And
yeah. That's one of the biggest things that, to me, with the not, like, I'm going to say this and it's going to be taken out of context, but what I mean is, like, of course the most disgusting thing they did was they murdered millions of people across Europe, not just Jews, but also Roma. They murdered Slavs, they murdered homosexuals, like all sorts
people
of
with disabilities.
People. By far, that is the most disgusting thing they ever did. Another one of the most disgusting things they ever did is they completely tainted this once beloved religious symbol and just tainted it with their blood. Not with their blood, but the blood of the people they killed.
Absolutely.
Because now we see that symbol. And
it's
I mean, here in the West, I'm not sure how it is in India or anything like that.
Yeah,
in
the East, I imagine it must be different.
But yeah, we see it. I mean, people are now more aware that that's a religious symbol. That was a religious symbol long before.
Yes.
Surprisingly, so they're not. They're not like, oh my God, there's a swastika on the temple, but it still does make them feel uncomfortable because
I agree. When I see it, unfortunately, my first association is with the Nazis, even though I'm fully aware, but not my first association is like, oh, that's a Nazi. And then you have to take it back and go, wait a second.
I've kind of trained myself not to make those comparisons because when you look at the swastika on, like the swastika, comment what the name of the symbol is in the religious symbol. It's not called the swastika, obviously, in India. But do post a comment saying what the actual symbol is. Because I looked it up and now I can't remember. But, and now I've lost my train of thought. Like with the swastika, you can tell that it's the Nazi swastika because it's tilted.
And the use usually of color tilted. As well.
It's black.
Red.
There's red and white. And then with this religious symbol, I noticed there's two dots on each of the top, like on the top, on the sides and on the bottom. And I think just on the top as well. And they're also not tilted.
Yeah. I see.
So that's one way to really distinguish them. And that's kind of how I'm like if I see, and also you can just tell by the architecture. Like when you see in India.
Yeah, you can, exactly. And if you see it tagged on a wall, for instance, it's a symbol that just sickens my heart every time I see it. You just think, oh, that's, like you said originally, just a symbol of such hatred. And to know, when I see that, you know, someone from our time period is still thinks it's okay to graffiti that on a wall or something, I find it absolutely heart-sickening.
Well, and also, I need to, like, vent about this. When someone who does, like, agrees with us that it's a disgusting symbol, but it's their free speech to wave it, here's what I have to say to you.
Go on.
Free speech ends the moment someone shouts fire in a crowded theater. Mm-hmm. Free speech it's probably different in the States, but I know for a fact here in Canada, free speech does not protect hate speech.
No, I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm directing this toward the audience, obviously.
No,
yeah.
I know. It's an excellent thing to
so,
differentiate.
Honestly, like, to the people that say, oh, it would be infringing on their free speech otherwise, I'm not going to lambast you because I understand where you're coming from, but you got to get out of that mindset and realize, no, this is not something that should be tolerated. And that's kind of the weird irony in that is in order to thrive as a society, we need to embrace certain intolerance towards such symbols as this. That's what I mean. We need to embrace intolerance towards intolerance. So, you know what I mean?
Kind of, but not
And not like the, like, intolerance of the extreme, such as, oh, we need to ban Muslims because Muslims are terrorists and bomb people, which is obviously bullshit. There are billions of Muslims in the world and only a small percentage of them. And even if you can call them that in that case,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes.
Like, so to say, oh, we'll ban Muslims, that'll solve the problem. Bullshit.
But it's what's not that got to do anything. With free speech?
Well, what I mean with free speech is when you got someone on the side of the road saying, kill all Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That's not free speech. That's hate speech.
I see.
When you got someone saying, oh, the Holocaust never happened. That's not free speech. That's hate speech.
I see.
When you got someone saying, oh, the Jews are coming to steal your money and they need to be stopped. That's not free speech. That's hate speech. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is. It is mildly complicated, but very smart, obviously, that there is a differentiation.
Yeah.
That is differentiated.
And I understand, like, this is, I'm not really afraid to speak my mind about this anymore. I know how kind of controversial it is because people are saying, well, we can't do this. It's like, yeah, we can.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. Germany has the all those anti-Nazi laws that are, which are, I don't want to say extreme, but they are, like, people people have gotten jail time for like 6 months for giving the salute.
Yeah.
This one guy got 3 months in prison for teaching his dog to do it, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But I mean, they're also, for the most part, still very peaceful people. I mean, there is a bit of a rise of right wing stuff, but for the most part, I'm not going to say all of the white people I know aren't bigots. And for Mookie and I, for the people fighting this hate for equality and whatnot, we're going to be standing on that line with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, obviously. I know we're in a funny time where...
Well, it's just, we're in this weird time where, like, both sides of the equation, like, both the extremes of both sides of the equation are using the same kind of tactics, mm-hmm. which is hilarious. Like, oh, the right wing are bullying me, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll, like, start, countering them by bashing them on Twitter or something. And then the right wing's like, oh, he said a mean thing. Oh, and it's like, and then me as someone who's kind of, who's definitely a moderate, and I think most people are moderates, are just sitting there looking, and it's like, are you guys looking in a mirror right now? Because that's all I'm seeing. You guys are using the exact same tactics and whatnot. And that's not the right way to do things. No. Now, with that said, I know most people on the right and on the left are not like those people. They're not like the people that's will cry, oh, I'm offended the moment someone says something. Mm. They're not the kind of people that will charge you and call you something like a racist or a pinko commie. The moment you say something that you either make a mistake of something and it's an honest mistake and then you're chastised for it, which I have been. Speaking of the left, we have the next item here is the Soviet flag.
Yes, definitely.
Very much of...
I wouldn't hang it in my window.
Yeah, you want to know the really funny thing? This is an object I actually literally have in my possession.
Yes, I know that.
And it was funny when I found this, I was like looking at this and I was just like, ooh, didn't feel great.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't feel great. It's like, and I can understand the reason why people are offended seeing this is because, well, this was the...
roots of a lot of suffering.
Oh, definitely. Just some, like, almost just as horrible as the Nazis.
Absolutely.
Although not necessarily for, I mean, it's arguable whether or not it was an ethnic thing, which in some cases I believe it might have been.
There definitely was a certain amount of ethnic cleansing as well. But
Holodomor and the Ukrainians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of people were discriminated against. But I think you're right. It was a bit... That wasn't their main focus. No. Their main focus was trying to get people to toe the line.
Yeah. It's hard to say with Stalin. Because Stalin, as I said in the Korean War episode, he was a fucking maniac. A smart maniac, unfortunately. Yeah. But he was still a maniac in all sorts of ways.
Absolutely.
But yeah. And...
But that's about when this flag came about, yes?
Yeah, like during the... I mean, they used a different flag during the revolution. It was red, like same color red, and it had... I believe they were lettering. They might be lettering put in a certain way to look like a symbol, or it might actually be a symbol. That's what the Red Army used during the revolution. And then they adopted this one.
Yes.
And if you look at the flag... It has the star at the top, which the star is a clear symbol of communism. It's used in all around communism, like Vietnam, China, Soviet Union.
United States.
Oh, we're not going to be allowed back, are we? You have the sickle and you have the hammer. And what those are symbols of is the... Farmers and the workers united, because those were part of, like, some of the main people who fought in the revolution were workers and farmers who were felt disenfranchised by the imperialist czarists. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like, the Bolsheviks, they got support from a whole range of different diverse people.
Mm.
And unfortunately, the Bolsheviks actually kind of betrayed a lot of their allies at the end. They betrayed the anarchists, which was a big one, is when they betrayed the anarchists and just quickly moved in and took the territory. So clearly the reason why this is controversial for a lot of main reason is because, I mean, it's communism. Communism in and of itself is still controversial. This is definitely the symbol of communism. I mean, the hammer and sickle, yeah.
Absolutely.
But the whole flag as its own. I mean, communists still use it today. I've seen protests, like, where communists
using it. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a little unfortunate, because as you well know, the theory of communism does not mean go around and kill millions of people because they don't believe in you, in what you have to say exactly, or toe the line. So to me, that's a bit tragic that this becomes a symbol of communism, because it's not the symbol of communism. It's a symbol of another extremely violent and unjust regime. So, yeah.
not a true communist regime, we should mention as well.
Not at all. And I mean, symbolically, the concept of a hammer and sickle is actually spot on. Those are the people, those are the masses, and in the time period. And those are the people who do rely on socialism the most, because you know, if you have 40 people working on a farm as opposed to four, you're going to do a lot better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and if you can all pool together and share equipment and share a grain elevator, et cetera, this is very beneficial to industry.
Yeah.
Especially farming and other kinds of industry that relies on many families as opposed to just one massive corporation. So, in fact, you know, to me, that feels a little sad that this has become a symbol of communism more than a symbol of a ruthless dictatorship that slaughtered millions of people.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people see it as a symbol of the brutal dictatorship. And unfortunately, like with the Soviet Union, like Stalin was by far the worst of them. And then you could say, oh, there were better ones, but they were only like better in the way, like, they weren't sending millions of people to gulags
for eating peanut butter.
Yeah, for stupid reasons.
Absolutely,
like,
completely.
Oh, you kind of. I didn't like the way you said that speech. I'm gonna airbrush you out of my photo that you're with me and you're gone.
You're gone. Yeah.
So there are people like Stalin, then there are people like Khrushchev who took over him, who actually was like, Stalin was a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
I'm gonna reverse everything that he did.
Yes.
And he did a lot to reverse it.
Yes.
And then the person coming in after that put stuff back.
Yeah.
It's kind of that strange back and forth. And then probably the most beneficial to the people was, and I mean arguably, it's either arguably either way, was Gorbachev. I mean,
he definitely tried to bring about change.
Yeah, he definitely did. And it ended up, he did bring change, just not what he was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very difficult reform.
Yeah. Going back quickly to the farmer and workers, it's interesting because, like, when Karl Marx wrote Communist Manifesto,
uh-huh.
he never expected a country like Russia to be the one to actually be the first
exactly.
to have that huge revolution. He was expecting it in Germany or in the UK. Yeah, because he was expecting it amongst workers.
Yes.
Not necessarily farmers, but workers. Actual factory workers. Yeah.
Workers.
And then all of a sudden it picks up steam in this country where most of its market is in agriculture. So that I don't believe Marx was alive during the revolution. Someone in the comments can correct me if I'm wrong. It's fine. totally fine to correct me if I'm wrong, just as long as you're nice about it. If you're not nice about it, I'm not going to take you seriously. But yeah, don't be like, he was alive, you stupid idiot. Just be like, hey. Anyway.
For your permission.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just kind of a shock. But
yes.
I heard an interesting theory that it was successful in Cuba because Cuba is an island.
Absolutely.
And because Marx wrote it for the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fully agree with that. I think it has some merit to it, but I don't think it's 100% true.
I think it's just, you know, it wasn't intended for such massive populations. And even if you see today where socialism or communism works is in a very small society of 100 people or 200 people or less, where you can know each other and be accountable for your behavior. And then it is, you know, much more possible, feasible to attain these ideals. But once you're talking about populations of hundreds of thousands to millions of people, it's very difficult for everyone to be on the same page and everyone go, oh, yes, we should all have $5 a day. I mean, I think we should all have $5 a day, but you might want $500 a day.
Right.
And so it's very hard to implement that amongst a grand population. Whereas in a smaller population, you can all pretty much share the same ideals, and if you're the only kid who wants $500, you go, well, I'm the only kid and the other 195 all want $5, I guess I'll just get over it and accept $5 instead of 500. And also, I mean, in Cuba it was, you know, arguably to the benefit of many people. You know, I think they actually were closer to realizing the dreams of communism than other places. Now, there's still loads of criticisms, I understand, but
justifiably, I should add, in certain cases, yeah,
there's definitely loads of criticism of capitalism as well.
Yeah, like I know.
Starving and yeah. Unkept for mentally ill people in the streets, etc. You know, capitalism has its flaws as well.
Yeah,
but you know.
In a lot of ways, Cuba's managed to thrive.
They did at one point. Yeah. Now I'm not so sure, but they, you know, they with education, their education is much better than the United States.
Yeah.
They have one of the highest literacy rates in the world.
They have the best medicine.
Best medicine in that region. They export more doctors in humanitarian aid than any other country in the world.
Absolutely.
And they have fresh food for citizens. They grow gardens near cities. Everyone's entitled to fresh food that was grown, you know, picked that week. Our vegetables, we get them 2 months later from Guatemala, you know. So,
yeah.
And their nutrition value is just not the same. So they did manage some benefits. Now you see, people today are mixed about it.
Yeah.
I've heard doctors say, you know, we can't imagine people paying for medicine. Yeah, to us, that's absolutely an absurd concept. We can't even wrap our head around that. Whereas talk to an American doctor about working altruistically in general,
mm-hmm.
and they might have a really hard time wrapping their head around golf passes.
Absolutely. Even just ordinary. Mm-hmm. Some of the ordinary American citizens would have.
Yeah, us too, let's face it. You know, one of the reasons we have a shortage of doctors is because a lot of Canadians move to America for higher salaries.
Yeah, I know, which is.
So we're not that much.
No. But yeah, I mean, we could go on about that, but that's a completely other subject.
But back to the flag.
This is the whole point of the show, is we get into these tangents.
But it's interesting, comparatively, like you said, you know, but comparatively to the Nazi symbol, I mean, this is an equally violent and a symbol of great suffering as well, although much more acceptable. You are allowed to wear this on your punk jacket. You are allowed to have this on a T-shirt. You are allowed to have a flag of this when you won't get told off and spat on you the way you would a Nazi flag. And that's very interesting, even though their histories are very comparable. I think, you know, there wasn't that many less that were murdered in Europe and Eurasia from this movement as the Nazi movement.
Absolutely.
Less movies made about it.
Lindsay,
less sympathy from less movies.
Yeah, I know. Lindsay had a really good point about the symbolism behind the flag. I'm not going to attempt to paraphrase at all, but I was explaining, like, well, it kind of felt like holding the Nazi flag in my hand, and she kind of explained how she understands why it's, I'm going to butcher this, but kind of how it she understands why people would compare the two, but how in reality it there's not a real comparison. And to say this in case, because I know people out there like to take things out of context, she's not denying what the Soviets did.
Yeah.
She's saying that the flag is more than just a symbol of the Soviet Union. It is a symbol of a huge movement that happened during this time. Because, I mean, they're not the only group to use... The Soviets are not the only people to have used the hammer and sickle. I mean, the Chinese have used it.
Absolutely.
So, I would love to get her... I'd love to get her to explain it eventually. But yeah. That'll be down the road when she gets back. So now, do you recognize that flag, Mookie?
No. I'm not going to say... I mean, I can...
That is the former flag of South Africa.
Oh, is it?
During apartheid.
I had no idea.
Now, again, please follow us along at home. Look at this flag. You see that there's a flag.
Within a flag.
Within a flag. Yeah. That's, and I know a vexillologist will just look at this and be like, oh, for fuck's sake. Because that just breaks all sorts of rules three times over. So what the, you look at this flag, Mookie, what do you think the immediate symbolism is?
Well, it's the colors of Holland and the colors of the UK. And I don't know what the green represents.
It's, well, I'll explain it. You're right with the Netherlands being, like, the Dutch.
Yeah,
Dutch. That, absolutely, and the British being there. Now, you see, there's the British flag there.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also the flag of the Orange Free State
mm-hmm.
and the flag of Transvaal. So the green represents Transvaal.
I see.
Yes. Now, what is missing in the symbolism?
Well, maybe anything to do with Africa.
Yep. I mean, you can argue all you want. People like saying, oh, Afrikaners are African, but they're...
They are, but they're... Obviously, this is a colonial flag. It's
yeah.
got nothing to do with the original people.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the Afrikaners are the same, are similar to me or you being North American, because we have European ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like we're North American, but we have European ancestry. They're African, but they have European ancestry.
Yeah.
Whereas the people they
conquered
and absolutely ruled in a really disgusting way
uh-huh.
were truly African.
Yes.
Now, you've been to South Africa.
A little bit.
Yeah. Did you ever see the effects, like the consequences of apartheid firsthand? Not like, I'm not saying she went during apartheid, but you went like decades later.
Yes.
Decades after apartheid ended.
Yeah, like 20 years.
I yeah. think. Did you see any lasting effects of apartheid while you're in South Africa?
Absolutely. It's still very divided.
In what way? Could you explain that to us?
Well, financially, economically, I think there's still a great divide in general. Now, you know, there are changes for sure, and definitely, you know, now you can go to school no matter what color you are, etc. And so there is a lot, there is progress made, and there are definitely people breaking the molds. However,
the flag is also better.
And the flag is much better, and there's a lot more people who do care about equality,
yeah.
that there's a long road ahead. Definitely economically. I mean, generally, the land is owned by Caucasians. I think less than 10% of African soil in general, or African commercial agricultural land, anyhow, less than 10% is owned by indigenous Africans. It's mostly owned by Chinese and Europeans, and maybe North Americans as well. Canada's definitely got a lot of mining.
Yeah, definitely.
Operations in...
Mining, oil,
mm-hmm.
operations in
yeah.
certain places.
And so that's a gross inequality. That's very obvious. You know, I did see some down-and-out Caucasian people who kind of were scraggly around the edges and maybe lived in their... in. Crappy houses or even in their cars, but majority in the town, it's the city itself, there is quite a divide between the wealth, and then the poverty goes for miles and miles and miles of these shantytown villages and houses made of scrap tin and whatnot. And there, of course, there are only black Africans living in those conditions. And there are very wealthy black Africans as well. But we're not there yet.
Yeah,
it's a
absolutely.
Long road to equality.
Is it kind of a similar situation to us with the First Nations people?
Absolutely, absolutely. But the population is—we're talking millions.
Okay. Yeah.
Here we're talking thousands. Well, and when you try to address the poverty of millions, this is a very challenging subject. And even when they do make an effort to, say, tear down a strip of shanty houses and build a nice apartment building or a nice bit of better housing for Khoisan folk, for instance, and that's a great movement, and that happens frequently. It does happen. And so, you know, say 1,000 Khoisan folk will get moved into better housing, but a week later has come another group of 100,000 immigrants from Congo or from Mali or from some other country where they're struggling because of war or famine. And so then those shanty towns are built right up again. So that is very challenging. And for the Caucasian people, in their defense, you know, they just see this an endless issue of poverty. They feel like, how much can I give? It's not going to solve. It's not going to solve. And so it's a hard one. I think here in Canada, we should count our lucky stars that we actually, the problems that we have, we could manage to solve them.
But we haven't solved.
But we haven't, because of laziness and ignorance and apathy. But there is no reason in the world that every Canadian, be it whatever your background, doesn't have clean water, drinking water. There's no reason in the world in this country for that. In Africa, it's a lot more complicated because the populations are vastly bigger.
Is it much more diverse in South Africa?
Absolutely.
When I say diverse, I just want to explain, it's not, I don't mean diverse as in, diverse as in like, oh, there's, like people, who are Caucasian European descent and then Caucasian, like, and other places. And then, like there are also people from India, there are people from, like, the diversity in South Africa. I mean, there obviously is that diversity, but yes. Also there is very diverse from the people who originally inhabited that land because of how ethnically diverse Africa as a continent has been throughout its existence.
Absolutely. I mean, as you know, there's 14 official languages.
Yeah, 15.
There's another.
15, yes.
So 15 official languages in one country.
Yeah, it is the country with the most official languages than any other country.
Yeah, and that's difficult to navigate. So even between, say, the Zulu and the Khoisan, the Khoisan were the indigenous folk before the Zulu came in and took, then had a violent conquered violently, and then the Brits and the Dutch, and they have a different name. What were they called? The Dutch
Afrikaners? Afrikaners. Well, they were Dutch
they had a
when they
name.
Once. I don't. Are you thinking Boer?
Yeah, the Boers.
Boers was actually a derogatory name for them. Yeah, it was. They're Afrikaner.
I see.
But they were called the Boer. I don't think it has as much. I'm probably wrong, but I don't know if it has as. It definitely doesn't have as much stigma as other.
Yeah.
Things.
So it's very, 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 very difficult to solve those issues. I wouldn't know where to start. I know when I was there, I really struggled from being a witness of it every day, and I started to feel, you know, disdain, is that the right word? But I did.
I think I know what you're getting at.
I found it challenging to. Like, I didn't want to go to the house of my colleagues where I knew they would have swimming pools and this and that and the other thing, of my white colleagues, I should say. That I found it really, I just didn't want to be part of that when I knew there were 6-year-olds begging for lunch
right
down the road. And I knew I was judging my white colleagues, actually, and I knew, hey, it's time for me to leave, because you, no matter what, you can't judge. You don't know. You weren't raised here. You don't understand. And you might be right or wrong or whatever, but it's not right to judge. So obviously this is getting under your skin, and it's time for you to go.
Right.
And now and come back another time with a fresh outlook, and just be ready to listen and to learn.
Well, it's very... I mean, I'm glad I'm... that's part of the reason why I chose that flag.
Yeah.
To bring out of the archives, because I knew you'd been there and you had seen
this.
And I wanted to get your two cents. People also listening will know... they might know. I mean, if they don't, I'm not going to shame them. But that flag was recently brought back into attention because the murderer behind the Charleston church shooting, who I'm not going to name because he does not deserve to be named, his picture came up online and he had a Rhodesian flag and a South African flag, and he wrote a stupid manifesto like expressing sympathy to them, and he wanted to start a race war. Well, instead of getting a race war, what he got was a death sentence.
I know.
So he won't be named. Unfortunately, you can look up his name, which I think is bullshit.
I know.
Assholes like that don't deserve to be named, but the people who do deserve to be named are the victims in Charleston, victims in all shootings, and of course the victims of apartheid.
Absolutely.
Now, this is an interesting flag I brought up, the Ulster banner, which we did see quite a bit when you and I were in Belfast.
Absolutely.
And all over Northern Ireland. Now, what's the thing about this flag is it used to be the actual flag of Northern Ireland, but because of how controversial it was during the Troubles, as it was known, the British government, they didn't ban it, but they removed it as their as the official flag. And to this day, the official flag of Northern Ireland is the Union Jack.
Is it?
They do not have an official flag because they can't agree on one that's not controversial.
Yes, I see.
Now, this flag, again, people look it up at home, but I'm going to describe it. It is basically the English...
crown.
No, well, the crown, but it's basically the English flag, the St. George's cross, red on a white background. And in the middle, it is a star that kind of looks like the Star of David.
6 points.
There's a red hand in the center and a British crown at the very top. Now, this screams British unionism and British loyalism.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's so controversial, is because it was starting to be used by the loyalist paramilitaries. And if you ask me, I mean, I'm no fan of the IRA or the Republican paramilitaries, because they did some pretty sketchy stuff. They obviously did some really sketchy stuff.
As well.
But the people who were some of the most disgusting were from the loyalists by far.
Yeah.
They all did really horrid things, but...
but this symbol is about oppression, isn't it?
Definitely. Absolutely. It's only... it makes no... I mean, other than the red hand, which is a symbol of Ulster...
yeah.
There's no real... it's mostly like...
oppression.
British. Yeah. English. I mean, Northern Ireland has had the rough end of the stick for a while. I mean, much of Ireland has had the rough end of the stick. We will get into that later in Panhistoria. But we're going to give you the brief overview. Is basically the Catholic Irish population were severely oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in the 60s, they didn't have the right to vote.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's interesting because in Ireland, when you talk about the civil rights movement,
yes,
they had their own.
Of course.
Which is with Catholics. And they actually declared solidarity with the civil rights movement in America.
Interesting.
Because they were like, we're fighting for the exact same thing.
Oh, wow. They have a big link with music as well, that kind
music,
of...
music, yeah. Theater?
Oh, I don't know about the theater, but I know there's a whole kind of...
okay.
...lineage of music. But probably that's probably how they linked was through that solidarity.
Oh, definitely. Now, when we were in Belfast, like when we were in Northern Ireland, we would see this flying occasionally.
We saw it graffitied a lot.
Yeah, we
buildings.
Did see it. They have the people. They have these murals. Paint murals. Both loyalists and Republicans will spray paint these murals.
Yes.
There's these.
there's spray paint of this flag all over the place. But and occasionally you'll see them hanging outside. Yes. And then there was that day that we took a black taxi down the Falls Road and we're like, or not the Falls Road, Shankill Road, excuse me. And we were just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There are so many British and British flags and Ulster banners.
Yeah.
And like our cab driver said,
yeah,
they're more British than the Brits.
Yeah, as it happens.
Yeah.
Like here, there's more Ukrainian dance troops here than Ukraine.
Oh, absolutely. But it's, but to have more British flags than in the actual UK,
yeah,
it was really
It feels
bizarre.
Like they're trying to prove themselves.
Absolutely. Right? They're trying... There's still, on both sides, there's still a lot of animosity towards each other for what happened.
Oh, for sure. It's not over.
Yeah, again, it's also with, like, kind of a really select few of each group.
Well, like, generally people who struggle for a meal.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the problem with Northern Ireland, is there's a lot of poverty there. And when humans have to compete for finance or for food, then that's when we get super territorial. And,
yeah.
And not just territorial, but tribal. And tribal is something that's innately human. It's been part of us since we got here. And there's a beauty to it, as we see with cultural dance and music and all the beautiful things that come from tribalism. But when it involves hating a different tribe, that's where it's really tragic.
Yeah.
For me, this flag, and I might be biased and judging, but my association... You know, the mostly where we saw it and the murals that we saw associated with it were violent and hateful.
Absolutely.
And that, so, and I see this flag, it makes me feel, I don't like it. I'm like, no, these are the bad kids.
Yeah, no, this just a quick anecdote. I was wandering around, Mookie was doing a show. I was wandering around and I ran into these Proddy boys, Proddy short for Protestant, and I could tell that they were raised by a certain type of parent,
mm-hmm. Yes,
holding
absolutely.
Those animosities, and they were just going off, and I was pushed into one of those situations where I had to side with the bad guy in order for myself not to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
And they were going off, they were saying all sorts of horrible things, like, all the Catholics are all, they're all fucking children in the arse, like, and hiding the priests when the police come. It's like, I don't know how I feel about this. And there was a moment, they were just cracking jokes, and I, out of the spur of the moment, I was young at the time, too. I was kind of young.
Yeah.
Early 20s, I think. Mm-hmm. And in order to kind of further fit in with them, I just, spur of the moment, I said, oh, yeah, those Fenian bastards. Now, Fenian in Ireland is not a very nice term to call an Irish person.
Right.
Apparently, it's actually different in North America, but...
Maybe less
but
weight.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing to call... It's definitely not a nice thing to call them in Ireland. But then one of the boys puts his hand on me. He's like, no, don't call them Fenians, man. It's like, oh, okay. And he's like, no, that's too nice. And I was like, what? I thought it was a horrible thing to say. Like, I was thinking that, and he's like, no, call them tags. And I'm like, yep, okay, it was nice talking to you guys. Thank you so much. And they're like, bye. They were drunk out of their minds, too,
yeah.
I should have mentioned. But, yeah, it was just so... These were kids, like, younger than me, and
yeah.
They still had that. They'd not lived through that troubles at all, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And they all still had that sort of...
No, it's still fresh.
But here's what's even funnier, is where we were staying, that neighborhood we were staying, was a mixed area.
Yes, one of
and
the few.
Cynthia told me that on one side, the man is Catholic, the man in this family are Catholic, on the other side, it's Protestant, and I would see them outside talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Just perfectly fine.
No, I mean, there are a lot of people moving on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, Belfast is a civilized city, but you know, if you're downtown and you're, you know, with... Not to sound snob, but, you know, say educated people and people who have had always had three meals a day and have read books and maybe traveled or whatever, have had opportunity. Of course, it's a lot easier to be I mean, compassionate or okay with other people, but it's when you're fighting to survive, it's harder to do that. I mean, they're not. I still not to condone because it's backwards behavior, and they should bloody well grow up and get on with the program. I mean, when you drive through those neighborhoods, you just think, what a bunch of idiots! Like, why can they not just grow up? And what's hard for me when you see the that side of town that's all alone about this and these really gruesome and militant looking murals and all this, and then when you go to the other side of town, they're murals are much more about liberation and about peace and about peace in Palestine as well. They have a big affiliation with Palestine.
Yeah, they tend to make murals and posters and whatnot showing solidarity with other separatist movements
and positive change.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so for me as an outsider, of course, my tendency is to side with those kids and think these kids are arseholes. Nah, that's not fair either, but what that is, and sorry, I've witnessed a fair amount of their behavior as well.
Yeah, fair and, enough. We both certainly did.
Yeah, and so they do, and also just genetically, they are a bit more of a rougher around the edge, and Irish tend to like sitting around spouting off poetry and playing banjos. So, you know, they were never traditionally such an aggressive people. They were always a more gentle people, whereas these people that came in as conquerors were definitely more aggressive people.
Absolutely.
And this is their lineage that's left, are carrying on this legacy. And
it's definitely good to see, like, from what we witness, how much both sides are moving on.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
The most you'll see those places with that are still animosity is the Falls Road, which is the Catholic area, and then just down the road on the Shankill, which is the Protestant.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely, if you walk around the outskirts to the poor neighborhoods, and they're still very poor, they're more poor than you kind of experience here in town, like very, very. They look like kind of bombed out areas.
Oh,
you
definitely.
Think,
I will post photos to the Panastoria page to give you an idea of what it's like. It's unbelievable, some of these areas.
Yeah, and that's a result also of the British oppression, isn't it?
One thing I really want to quickly bring up is there's that third category of murals, which were non-sectarian.
Mm.
It's called non-sectarian.
Absolutely.
There. But there's that beautiful mural, one of the first ones I saw, and it said, it was just a bunch of origami swans, and it was talking about peace.
Yes,
and we saw all sorts of those things, and those were some of the most beautiful ones we saw.
Yes, there are definitely people that are trying to get to the next chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. Even people in groups like Sinn Féin, the Republican Party, and just in Parliament, are trying to get past that. And there are a lot of new non-sectarian groups coming out, like the Alliance Party, and they're just trying to get past things. Still got a little ways to go, but it's getting there.
There's a ways to
go. It's definitely getting there. We're almost out of time.
Well, I think we should continue.
Yeah, definitely. But this is going to be weird for a lot of people, but one of the things I decided to add to my collection here at the Museum of Controversy and to bring out was the American flag.
Yep, I think fair enough. I mean, this does evoke emotion in me now. And I have, as you know, a lot of very dear, dear, dear friends and people I consider family in America. And but yet, this symbol of this flag gives me a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And now I associate this with a bad feeling, which is sad because obviously there's a lot of merit to the United States as well. But this, I guess the flag waving of this, of their kind of flag waving
I know what
mentality.
You mean.
For me, it gives a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, when that whole thing started, it was after September 11th.
With the flag?
But, yeah, like when people really, from what I remember, is when that's when people first saw it really hung out. And like, I know my friends have said this. That's the first time they remember.
Yeah, I think.
And you know what?
Sorry.
The thing is, the thing is, at that time,
yeah,
that's an excellent time to be doing that because you just suffered a huge tragedy.
Yeah.
You're gonna, that's the kind of a way of showing you're not going to, like, you're not going to disillusion us, you're not going to stop us.
Yes, I see.
And then it really got twisted out of control after after that. I mean, we look at, I kind of look at this and I just see it. I definitely can see people's, I'll get into that. I just look at this and I see a flag, right? I'm just giving my perspective.
Fair enough.
I see a flag. It's a decent flag. I mean, you see it, it's recognizable. You just look at it and you're like, oh, it's the American flag.
Mm.
Unless you look at it wrong and it turns out it's Liberian flag. But I just look at it. But then, like, me being a history major, looking at conflicts in Iraq, ask an Iraqi to look at this flag and ask them how they feel.
Yeah.
Or even someone from Afghanistan. I'm sure there are Iraqis who feel, and Afghanis who feel, who look at this flag and feel great. These could possibly be Iraqis and Afghanis, like all sorts of people who actually managed to get a good, to leave and come into America and have start a new life. But then there are people who look at this flag and remember the millions of people who died in the Iraq War and in the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And they see that, as we mentioned before, a symbol of oppression.
Yeah, oppression. I see it as kind of a... And I don't even really see it as American people. I see it as a bully flag. I see it as a braggart flag. And that's why it makes me feel disdain. I don't think I have one American friend who waves this flag on their yard.
Neither do I.
No, I don't wave a Canadian flag on my yard either. Not. But it's to me, I attach it with a certain braggart and bulliness of this country.
Yeah.
That's the qualities of America that I don't like, and that's what I see in this flag. And then, so it's not, I don't associate it with American people. I associate it with the worst,
like the oppressions the government has.
Government and also, I mean, it's not right to look. I'm not saying that I'm right in saying this out loud. This is just me saying what conjures for me is kind of redneck, you know, bully braggart Americans, and they exist. I don't know what the ratio is, who to who. I know there's loads of gorgeous people in America, but that's what this flag represents for me.
Two of my best friends are American.
Same.
Shout out to Caitlin and Kayla.
Exactly. No, you know, loads of my best people.
Yeah, it's... I thought it was also appropriate to bring this up because of the recent controversy over the protesting the flag at the NFL games.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it's too bad Lindsay's not here. She would go on. She would love to go on about that because she's studied it. But
yeah,
it's just, to me, it's really stupid, and that they're not allowed to protest the flag. And everyone's like, oh, it's disrespecting the flag. No, it's not necessarily disrespecting the flag.
The flag is disrespecting them. The flag should not be more important than the citizens.
Exactly, but it's not. They're not protesting the symbol itself. They're protesting the people behind the symbol. They're protesting the people they feel the flag, like, are using the flag to represent them. These are the people that are oppressing them, that are killing them. And what's interesting is that the man who, I cannot remember the person's name, go in the comments, tell me who it is, the man who started this protest of the flag, where they, do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
When they kneel, when they kneel at the flag during, like, during the national anthem, he actually wanted to protest, but he understood that there would be repercussions, because a lot of the criticism is saying, oh, it's disrespectful to our service people. He actually went and spoke to a Vietnam vet and asked what would be a good way to protest the flag without being overly disrespectful. And this vet said, to kneel down instead of
stand.
Instead of something else. He said that would be the best way, is to kneel. And now they're saying, oh, he's a disrespectful piece of shit. And like now the NFL's passed that they can't protest the flag, which is, I hate to say it, is against one of your amendments. and most of the people in America know that it's
absolutely. I think for them it's so, it's why it's upsetting them so much, is football is such an American game, and it is actually a symbol of of the ideologies that a lot of us have problem with. It's just, you know, putting young men out on the war field to smash each other to bits, and While the coaches, generally white dudes, stand on the sides and tell these young men what to do with their bodies. So to me, these lads, these men that have the courage for that protest, I find them extremely heroic.
Now that it's like, well, you can't protest the flag, but you're allowed to stay in the locker room. And I'm like, wouldn't it be more offensive, like be seen as more offensive if you stayed in the locker room for the national anthem? I mean, I would rather, I absolutely support this protest because I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And I think it's right.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's also there, we were talking about free speech
earlier.
That is a good example of proper use of free speech.
Yes, and those, and courage.
Yeah, they're not being disrespectful at all, because I feel it would be seen as more disrespectful if they didn't come out on the field at all.
And more disrespectful if they get shot in the back for visiting their granny with a cell phone.
Absolutely.
So, if you want to talk about respect, those men are doing the exact right thing, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And they're doing it, I agree with you, they're super brave.
And they know they're off position.
Yeah, they know they have this massive spotlight, and they don't care about the criticism. So honestly, like, from Panastoria, if any of you guys are listening, for whatever it's worth, we fully support you guys. We support your cause, and we hope that this is solved. I doubt it's going to be solved while Chester Cheeto is in office, but you know.
Using his name.
Yeah, we fully support. I used him last podcast, but we fully support your cause, and we hope it has the beneficial outcome for everyone.
Absolutely.
We absolutely stand by it. We've been going for about an hour now. I believe that's enough.
Well, I have one for you that I brought you.
Oh, here we go. All right, this will be an honorable mention. Mookie just brought for those of you who don't know, Mookie was just traveling in Europe before she came back. And she brought me, I'm opening up now, you can hear it. Wow, it's the flag of Catalonia in Spain.
Which isn't necessarily controversial.
No, it's kind of controversial just because, but it's not for the reasons we've been talking about.
No, they're just standing up for themselves.
Yeah, and then
I think if you flew it in Madrid, it might be considered controversial.
That would be pretty heavy.
That might be considered controversial.
Yeah, but in Catalonia, I think you see more of these flying around than Spanish flags.
Oh, by far. You see that on every household.
I'm sure.
Especially now that their political leaders are in jail.
I'm not going to take sides in that whole thing. Because I understand what's going on.
In this case of imprisoning your political leaders, I can easily take a side that's unconstitutional, undemocratic, and not against human rights.
All I'm going to personally say is I hope both sides will come to an agreement that is beneficial. I sympathize with the Catalonian people. I can totally understand why they feel they need to leave. But I also know that there are a lot of people living in Catalonia who do not wish to leave. They do want to see reform. I hope that there is an outcome that can come from this that is beneficial in general.
Yeah, well,
whether that's more autonomy, like a federalized Spain or full-on independence, whichever one happens to work out.
Yeah, I think they already did have pretty autonomous government. Like much like Quebec, to Canada. But I think if we had turned around and decided to put René Lévesque in jail because Quebec wanted a referendum, that's not right in a democratic country. That's really...
Yeah, it's kind of... It's trickier in Spain because in Spain it's the way I've seen it described is that it's a unitary state disguised as a federal state. So they actually... basically, those autonomous regions, their powers are granted from the central government. They're not granted by the Constitution.
Right.
So the reason why it's different from like the Quebec referendum as it was the Catalonia referendum, and the reason why, I'm not saying it's right.
No, I'm with you, and I understand what you're...
The reason why it was considered illegal and why this crackdown happened is because they did not constitutionally... It was unconstitutional to hold the referendum without the consensus of the
Madrid,
which I mean I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm also seeing it. I'm in the moderate side, people, so don't crucify me. I totally sympathize with the Catalonians, but as I said, there needs to be a solution that benefits both sides. And I hope that happens.
Yeah.
Because I'm a guy who also really sympathizes with Scotland. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But with that said, I believe that is a good place to stop.
There you go.
I would like to thank you all for joining me in the Museum of Controversy, and I'd very much like to thank Mookie for joining me.
It's been...
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for your conversation and a very interesting subject to bring up.
Absolutely. You'll be able to tell why I wanted her on the first episode of this, because she's got really good opinions. And opinion is good.
Yeah.
Opinion is definitely good. If you guys have an opinion of something we talked about, leave a comment, but be respectful. That's all I say. Please be respectful.
Have a conversation. You don't have to hate to have a different opinion.
Absolutely.
We can actually learn from each other having different opinions.
Yeah, you can disagree with something I said today, or what Mookie said today, or what we both said.
And then we can learn from you without you calling us idiots or anything.
Just be respectful to the show. Be respectful to each other, most of all. And... I believe that's...
I think
all.
It's a show about understanding.
Absolutely. It is. We may be talking about controversial subjects, but it is... We have to talk about controversy in order to regain our aspect of respect. And with that said, thank you very much for joining me. Be respectful people, guys. Have a good night.